Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at OrderlyMeds.com/podcasts. That's OrderlyMeds.com/podcasts. Again, OrderlyMeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply. The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
And welcome to another off-season edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Hey guys, thank you so much for supporting us and listening during this off-season. You could do us a big favor by subscribing to this podcast. That's number one. By going to Apple and rating this program and tell us why you love Spits and Suds. And of course, the third way, and these are all free, spread the word about Spits and Suds, that there is a programming giving hockey content with great guests all off season. Before we know it, we'll be starting the preseason. We'll get into the draft. We'll get into free agency. So much to do this off season. And one of the cool things about off season is we get to take a step back and do some really, really cool interviews. And this is one of my favorites. In just a moment, I will pump her tires. Andy Petrullo, you might remember her from NHL Tonight. But from a Canadian perspective, Andy is absolutely amazing. Not just how much she covers hockey, but also covering 6 Olympics. So, you know, you may not have heard of her, but when you hear from her, you will absolutely fall in love with her. She is terrific. Let's talk about the on-time experts, because they make these off-season programs happen. And as I mentioned the other day, the rain, it's off and on, and that's been holding the temperatures down. But the forecast is saying that it's about to heat up in North Texas. And that means you need to make sure that your AC unit is completely optimized, because nothing will be worse when it clicks on and then you hear it click off and you say, uh-oh. Because right now, the On-Time Experts is running that $59 first-time customer special. How about that? $59 for a complete, thorough examination, deep cleaning, get rid of that dust, get rid of that grime, get rid of any debris, because that kind of stuff puts a lot of pressure on your HVAC unit. And you know what it does? It takes years off that unit's life. So give that HVAC unit new life like I did. They'll spend nearly 2 hours at your house, but that's a good thing. This is not a fly-by operation. This is not somebody that's going to come to your house and say, well, you need this, you need this. And I personally witnessed it where they took a picture of a part that they had to climb over my unit to get to because it wasn't put in right. And they said, Gavin, this unit, while it's still compliant, could go out in the next year or two. But the good news is when it does, we'll know the problem and we'll get it fixed for you quick. they want me as a customer for life. And you know what? They got me as a customer for life even before I started doing the endorsements for On-Time Experts. They support local hockey here in DFW, the official HVAC unit of the Dallas Stars, of Spitz and Suds. You see the Zamboni, you see the scoreboard, you see the ribbon. It's all about the On-Time Experts. So let's support them. Go to theontimeexperts.com, also running a $99 first floor drain cleaning special right now. So let's support them. Same day service guaranteed. That same day service guaranteed. You call them today, they'll be there today. It's the On-Time Experts at theontimeexperts.com. So today on Spitz and Suds, this is a very worthy pumping of tires because today's guest is Just Call Me Andy, Sports Stories from a Trailblazer. It's available on Amazon and Amazon Canada, where she hosts Prime Monday Night Hockey, hosted 6 Olympic Games, a multiple award winner. She was the 5th woman ever to be part of the iconic hockey night in Canada, which I tell all of you, you have to watch every week. And you want to talk about versatility, she covers the NHL, the PWHL, the National Lacrosse League, both international and MLS soccer. I can go on and on. She is unquestionably my favorite. I think I interviewed like 4 or 5 years ago. I don't expect you to remember this, Andy Petrullo, but how are you?
Oh, I don't even know how to follow up with an intro like that. I mean, that's quite the intro. And I'm going to just say, I'm great. How are you?
Nice. I am doing great. I'm so excited. I really enjoyed this book. Some laughs. You know, because I watch you, I didn't have to do the audio version. Like, you were telling me the story. Like, it was in my head. But I also started thinking, because there are going to be people that don't know Andy Petrullo, and maybe you do if you watch the old NHL Tonight, because that's where I first found you. I guess the question is how do we get you back in America?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, keep my fingers crossed. I love, and you know what, you mentioned that the NHL Network. When I do my Thursday prime shows coast to coast, which is, you know, right now, like our version of NFL Red Zone, we do that out of the NHL Network studio. So every Thursday I fly to Secaucus, New Jersey, and I do that in the NHL Tonight studio, and everyone is like right there. And I kind of wave from across the hall and I said, hey, I just need to cross this hall. It's all I got to do. And I can be back in that studio and we could be doing some things. But you know, this year, even on Amazon Prime, we had the chance to do more games in the States. The bulk of our Mondays are in Canada, but we did do quite a few games in the States, and it's always a blast. Obviously I see some friends and whatever, but it's just great to get, the different vibe, go to all the different rinks. So I will never say no if I had to do more there.
Well, I watched the highlights of that show and I love that show, but that's a contractual situation that can't be played in America through Amazon, right?
Correct. Yeah. Cause Amazon just has the Canadian rights, but we do get a lot of people. It's funny, cause a lot of NHL players. So even some of the Canadian guys who play on the American teams, when I've had the opportunity to interview them, they're like, hey, wait a second, you know, teammates of mine that are, or sorry, not teammates, but friends of mine who are on Canadian teams, or relatives of mine who still live in Canada, they're like, they talk about this coast to coast show. They're like, why can't I watch it? I said, oh, well, you know, right now it's just on in Canada. So some of the NHL players themselves have been kind of pushing to have that starting, you know, to be broadcast in the United States. So who knows? Fingers crossed. We keep our fingers crossed. We'll see.
Yeah. And it does bring up this question that I talk about, and nothing against all the great reporters we have in the U.S., but why do I learn so much more insight when I watch Canada TV and I follow Canadian insiders? How do you guys know more about players and trades and movements, and why does it not go south of the border sometimes?
You know, well, I mean, I'll take that compliment and say, yes, thank you, that this is all very true. But you know, I think every place has that level of expertise in a sport that, I guess, as we say, runs through your blood, right? For Canadians, we know it's hockey. Like, I turn to Americans whenever I want my NFL news.
That's
just
the point.
Like, yeah, like oftentimes too, when it comes to even footy news, I look at my Italians and I look at my Brits and try to get my soccer news. Like, I guess it depends like what country you're from and what you grew up literally just being surrounded by. You know, it's just a cultural thing that it envelops you. And I think, you know, in Canada, it really is true. This is the number one sport. And it's something that we live, breathe, and die by. And it's, you know, it just catches our attention. And whether you're not even like, even if you're not a fan, you can't help but come across something on the TV that's talking hockey, you know, trying to put a station on the radio, hockey. If you go to wherever you get your podcasts, I'm pretty sure all these hockey podcasts then pop up if you're a Canadian too, right? Like, it's absolutely everywhere. So you just can't help but be surrounded by it. So it's, you know, but it's no different. I think every country just has their sport that they just know the most about, and it's just in your blood.
So then I will pick your Canadian brain and ask you about the Dallas Stars, since this is mostly a Stars focused podcast, and your thoughts from north of the border on what happened to Dallas this year and Dallas as a whole.
So I'm on record on my show Coast to Coast as saying that my Stanley Cup final was going to have the Buffalo Sabres versus the Dallas Stars. Ooh. I had them in the Cup final, Gavin, because that is how much I loved their team. I loved everything about the Dallas Stars, just from, you know, the scoring prowess and looking at, I mean, I think it was like the two players, right, in the top 10 with 40 plus goals, so you could score. You were strong defensively. Still love the goaltending as well. There was a lot about this team that I thought was so great. Love the veteran presence. You know, I'm a big Matt Duchene fan. Obviously heartbroken as well with Tyler Seguin having his season end early. But when they even came to Toronto, you know, he was traveling with the team as well. So I loved the fact that the team kept everyone together too. Camaraderie, didn't matter if he was never going to see the ice this season. There was just so much about that team that I went, this has got to be it for the Dallas Stars this year. So love the team and was probably just as heartbroken because my ego took a shot when I was like, not only did they not make the Stanley Cup final, but they go out in the first round. I'm like, come on. So I felt it alongside you guys.
So it's funny that you mentioned Tyler, because here it's Tyler Seguin, but there it's Seguin. Up north where you are, or something similar. It is interesting when NHL players, like we have a defenseman, Liam Bischel, but you know, back when he was playing in Europe, it was Bixel. It was, you know, the changing of the names I always find interesting in different areas.
Well, the players drive me a little crazy with this too. And I tell them all the time, you drive me crazy, because I ask players, how do you want me to pronounce your name? It doesn't matter. And I said, don't tell me that. I need to know how you pronounce your name. So they never really want to tell you. And the best is Dean Brown, you know, longtime commentator with the Ottawa Senators. And do you remember the Mahalik or the McCulloch brothers?
Yes.
And he literally got both of them to say their name. One said Mahalik, one said McCulloch. And he's like, that's it. I quit. Like, I absolutely quit. Right? Like, you guys are driving me insane. So sometimes the players do it themselves and they're like, we don't care how you pronounce it. Or then suddenly, you know, 3 years into their career, they're like, this is actually how you say it. And you're like, So sometimes the players are to blame for that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I love about Andy Petrullo is I love your relatability. And this book was relatable because you made me think of my family and how my family inspired to do what I do today. And you start talking about your Italian heritage, now Canadian heritage. And I love that, you know, you talk about your grandparents in Italy and some amazing stories, and that, you know, traveled by boat from Italy to Nova Scotia, took a train to Toronto, all while pregnant with twins and a toddler, you say. Yeah. And then on top of that, you know, the part where your grandfather and your family as a whole became such big fans of Hockey Night in Canada, and there you are, and they get to watch you. That, to me, it was just a terrific way. You know, I wanted to get into the hockey, but I'm like, wow, you really got into some great depth about what makes you what you are today.
That was really important for me to get that out. I mean, firstly, I think, you know, a lot of people, if they have followed my career for as long as they have, do want to get to know a little bit more about me, especially when I did radio. I probably divulged a little bit more. Radio, as you know, even in a podcast format, you can talk about yourself and be a little bit more laid back. Whereas being a sports host on TV, it's very structured and there definitely is no talk about your personal life. So I think when I was the host of Leafs Lunch for about five years, you know, I kind of opened up a little bit more about myself. And to your point, like that's what people always responded to. So when I shared a story, next thing you know, like Twitter's blowing up of people saying, hey, me too, or that happened in my family or whatever. So I said, you know, I think people just want to know a little bit more about me. So it was important to share that, but it was also important to share because how else do you explain who you are today unless you give a little bit of a background of your family, you know, because obviously in my position and, you know, which I get into in the book about being the first woman to do quite a few things in the sports world, you know, in Canada, a lot of people always just say like, how do you do it? And how do you deal with it? And how you fight through it? And how do you have the patience for this? Or just how do you, you know, have the ability to ignore the haters or whatever it is, right? Well, it was important to explain, well, here's my upbringing. And being an only child, I was, you know, I kind of had the best of both worlds in the sense that in the traditional sense of this is what girls do, this is what boys do, being an only child, I did both, right? Mm-hmm. My parents never put me in the little tidy box that was just pink with bows on it because I was a girl and I had a brother that they paid attention to and did other things with. It was like, no, I was the only kid. So you do everything from the laundry to, you know, cutting the grass. And my dad himself has always been somebody, because I think this is really key, right? Like my mom's always been a very strong woman, but it also takes a very strong man to, you know, sometimes say the woman's going to lead. And my dad had no problem with that. So then you kind of understand where I come from and the type of men who have been my role models. So that's why I think it was really important to share that part of me, just be A, to let people in, but B, to also explain, you know, why I am the way I am, which can also be very stubborn, obnoxious, but in a lovely way.
So selfishly, as a guy who runs 105.3 The Fan here in Dallas, the home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers, and I would watch you on that radio program because they had a simulcast. And I often thought, and you could say you're wrong, Gavin, I feel as though that radio experience kind of helped you and allowed you to bring your personality onto television, where sometimes I see television personalities go to radio and that personality takes much longer. I just feel as though when you start in radio and make the transition, you're so outgoing and you have to fill so much more time that it helps you.
Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that because I felt like it was taking me a while, because you're right. Again, you know, TV is just very structured and you stick to the script. And in fact, before I took over Leafs Lunch, I was filling in a little bit here and there for Brian Hayes. And of course, Brian Hayes, part of the trio with Jamie McLennan and Jeff O'Neill, who now do Overdrive, but they were the guys doing Leafs Lunch before. So how it all started was I was filling in for him on pat leave. Like he was on paternity leave. And I'll never forget my first show. I introed it like I was doing a TV show. And I welcomed everyone into Leafs Lunch, and I'm Andy Petrillo, and that's Jamie, Noodles McLennan, and Jeff O'Dog O'Neill. All right, guys, what did you think of the Leafs 5-4 loss? Literally, I did it in like 7 seconds. And they both looked at me very wide-eyed, and they went, slow down. We have a three-hour show here to fill. Like, you better start giving your personality. You better start giving your opinion. That was foreign to me. A sports host never gives their opinion. That's the analyst's job. So when I got into TV, not only did I have to learn to let people into my world and who I am, but now I had to give my opinion, which kind of opens the door for people like agreeing and disagreeing with you. And of course, everyone needs to disagree with you sometimes in the most vile of ways. And I went, oh no, right? Like I'm opening myself up to this whole other world. But you know, radio taught me so much in that like you can prepare, but it can go in so many different directions. So you need to know your stuff. Right? Yeah. Like a pregame script for TV is a pregame script and that's it. Radio, if you're doing 2 hours, 3 hours, you can get exposed real fast if you don't know what you're doing.
So watching that program, I remember it actually made me change because, and that's what I like about that you put a trailblazer, because I've changed my language. I no longer would say, You know what makes Andy so talented? She fits in with the guys. Now I'll say, you know what makes so Andy's so talented. She's a great host. Like, I have tried to change how I describe women in their profession. Same with PWHL. Boy, hockey players. I don't say great women hockey players. So I'm hoping that I try to take a step in the right direction.
Me too. Like, here's the thing. I'm a 46-year-old woman. So I grew up in an era where I was considered a tomboy. Now that's like a bad word, right? You're not a tomboy. Yeah. You're just like, you are a girl, but you just, you're good at sports. And you're, because before, to your point, there was always the relation of you fit in with the guys, which means this is the guy's world. Yes. And you happen to infiltrate it. But we're eliminating that. It's not a guy's world. Who said guys own it? Who said men own it? Right? Like, so I get it. But to your point, like, I too have had to change the way I even, A, speak about myself. And then, of course, even talk about women's sports. And it's a thing that I address in the book. And, you know, and I do share this moment where when I was younger and I was starting to do speaking engagements because I was starting to become known in the industry. And people would introduce me as female sportscaster Andy Petrullo. And when one of my producers, Mark Askin, who's a producer with me at Amazon Prime, my goodness, we've been together for like 2 decades now working together. He was the one who said, whoa, 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 pump the brakes. How did they introduce you? And I said, female sportscaster. And he's like, when Joe Bowen walks into a room, do they introduce him as male sportscaster? Like, why did you include your gender? And already it kind of got my wheels spinning. And then it wasn't even that long ago, like literally, Gavin, in the last like 5 years or so, yeah. Where I really started to question the way I talk about women's sports. And there's a chapter in my book called Equality of Language. And I really did feel like we were infantilizing women. We were kind of like babying the athletes. If they lost, it was, they're there now. It's all going to be okay. Whereas with men, we have no problem saying X, Y, and Z went wrong, and this is what needs to be fixed. So we were always kind of making excuses on behalf of the women. By the way, this is much to the chagrin of the athletes themselves. They don't like it either. But we kind of, and I also explain in the book that I understand why we did this, because women were still very much fighting for their space in the sports world. So the last thing they needed was to just constantly be criticized and condemned and told they're not good enough. So I get it. But I do think we're at a point now where we've got to make that turn. The athletes themselves completely agree as well. And the real kind of epiphany for me was when I was talking about rugby sevens. And I literally did back to back. Saturday, we did the men's tournament. Sunday, we did the women's tournament. And the men's tournament was all about 6'5", 220, his speed. If you get hit by him, you're done. And the women, it was like, she's got really good footwork. She's very cerebral. And I'm like, hello, is this woman not 5'8", 180? Like, I would kill to be that size, because then I would run people over, which is probably why I'm not that size, because I would be an absolute menace if I was. But I'm like, this is incredible. This is a body of a warrior that we should be celebrating. But like in the women's game, we don't talk height. We don't talk weight. Right? I said, oh, come on. Like, we need to start getting over this. So, but I too just recently have, you know, started to change my language and the way I even talk about myself, because I grew up in a world where I was made to feel like I was infiltrating a world that actually wasn't meant for me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish, spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's Furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Yeah. Yeah. On that note, I love the part where you're talking about kind of a dream come true, working, you know, covering the Maple Leafs and longtime captain of the Maple Leafs, Matt Sundin, and how it took you a bit to earn his respect. You talk about a part where he got up on the plane and you kind of had to wait, and he purposely, you couldn't get by. And, you know, it was just, it's fascinating, but you know, that changed, and, you know, and you know, to the point where you've talked about, you know, when he sees you, he gives you a hug.
Yes. And I'm very excited now that he's with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe I can start getting inside scoops again. But he was, I mean, Matt's to me is still one of the best leaders. And that's the thing. When you understand the sports world, you don't take things personally. And in fact, I knew it was coming because I had heard from people too, that right away when I was hired, Matt's was kind of like, who's this new person? So A, who's this new person? And, you know, he's like, can she be trusted? Because at the time, I worked for Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which meant I got to be on the charter. So I was on the charter. I rode the buses. I stayed in the same hotels. And oftentimes that would mean, especially after games, when we would jump on the charter to come back home, I knew who had what injury. I saw the ice packs. I saw physio, like, address. So I can understand why the captain of the team who wants to protect his team was like, who is this person who's now going to be traveling with us, right? And he kind of made it known that they weren't just going to accept me right away, but I was good with that. I was absolutely, in fact, some of the things that he did, like I was going like over a month or so saying hi, he would never say hi back, always gave me an interview though, like from a professional standpoint, he was still very professional. It was just outside of that, he was like, And then, I mean, I haven't been on a charter in forever, so I hope they change this, but the media always sat at the back, but yet they would board the players first. So now you got to go through this gauntlet of players as they're already getting up, eating their food, moving about. And I'm like, just let us board first for the love of God. And then one time, he saw me coming down the aisle and he got up and then started to like rummage through his bag that was up top, but he wasn't doing anything. Like he was doing it for the sake of like saying, I can get up and I can stop you if I want. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. And I was like, okay, whatever. But then after I was privy to a bunch of stuff, but never leaked anything, you know, I guess he figured he could trust me. And then the gates opened up after that. And he's just a lovely person.
I did feel bad for him, named executive advisor. I think it's awesome that he's coming back to Toronto. He was so popular there. And there he sits at the podium with the new general manager, John Chayka. And they are going hard. And I just remember watching that. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Matt, he has to sit there because he didn't have anything to do with the hire.
No, we all thought the same thing. Like the amount of like, there are people out there who are far wittier and funnier than me, but like, you know, kind of doing like the thought bubbles over his head on what he must have been thinking, like coming back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think it'll be great. On the whole John Chayka stuff, I mean, I honestly don't know. I'm curious to see how he's going to do. I think, you know, at 26 years old, I can't imagine being named the GM of a team at 26. I think he was a hothead. I think he was sipping his own Kool-Aid. And I don't think he realized just how serious the NHL was with its rules. He thought he could break them and he clearly got in trouble for that. But I'm willing to give a bit of the benefit of the doubt and let's see what he can do now that he's learned and he's older and, you know, he's a father and kind of gone through some things in life. So let's see the second time around, because I know if anybody judged me based on things that I did when I was 26, then I'd be doomed. So let's just see what he can do here.
There's a little story in the book where Connor McDavid's mom came up to you and said that little Connor now wanted to go to the games because he was watching an up and coming Andy Petrullo. Have you spoken with Connor about that?
No, every time I've interviewed him the last couple years, it was always in game, but I have to tell him that I fully take credit for his career. 100%. He needs to know this. He needs to know because I'm going around telling absolutely everybody. But yeah, it's like every time I've interviewed him, it's been intermission or post game. And you know how those go, right? The second you say thanks, boom, like they're gone and they go into the room. And oftentimes, like I actually am not in the room as much as some other reporters, because oftentimes even at morning skate, I'm doing my sit down interviews with other guys, or post game, I have post game responsibilities to our post game show. So I don't really go into to the room. But one of these days I will tell him that, you know, he, those Newmarket Hurricane Junior games weekly on Rogers Cable, I was hosting those. And that's what his mom said. She's like, you hosted those? Connor watched those religiously. And because of that, he wanted to be at the games. So that's why I take credit for his career, because I say to everybody, you're welcome. It's because of me talking about the Newmarket Hurricanes that Connor is the magnificent hockey player that he is.
Right. All right. You do talk about finding love. And I have to say, like, man, what a hunk your husband is. Okay. Like, don't get me wrong. You know, Andy, you're a beautiful woman, but man, that John Conway. So 10 years in the MLS as a goaltender, MLS Cup winner with Toronto FC as a coach, got to get that in. Yeah. So I was thinking, like, okay, former athlete, what are those dinner discussions like, where, like, do you guys like dive into sports, or is it just like, hey, we do this for a living, enough?
No, it's all sports. It's all sports here. He's not really a diehard hockey fan. So if I'm like going for the Leafs, it's not like he's got a team that goes against them. But of course, we watch the Flyers. I do throw it in his face, though. Whenever he upsets me, I remind him that the Toronto Blue Jays did defeat the Phillies to win the World Series. He knows this. But he made it perfectly clear. I don't have a team in the NFL. In fact, back in the day, I loved Willis McGahee. So I cheered on Buffalo mostly because of that. And then we used to have season tickets when I was in high school. So we went to a lot of Bills games just based on proximity. But I love Darren Sproles. Till this day, I still love Darren Sproles. So I have no problem being an Eagles fan. But that was the one caveat in this relationship. He's like, you simply cannot cheer on another NFL team, and you definitely can't cheer for the Cowboys.
Oh, no, we're trying to sell books. What Andy's trying to say is that she's a huge Cowboys fan.
No, that was the one that he's like, mm-mm. And he is like, when you think of like a fan from Philly, that is John. But we talk sports all the time, and where we do definitely butt heads as well, of course, is when our nations go head to head. And I'll share that, of course, it's Olympics, you know, U.S. beating Canada in hockey. So he didn't say a word. So I was actually hosting the Olympics, and he doesn't say a word to me because I'm still working. And he understands, obviously, my devotion to my national team, just as he has his devotion to his national team. So it was probably about, when did that game happen? That game. So the women were a few days earlier. The men were on the Sunday because they put us up in a hotel. So I probably got home about 5 days later, right? And he still hasn't said anything. And I'm so happy to be home. I had been in a hotel for almost a month. I just wanted to be in my own bed. So I get ready for bed and I peel back the sheets, and right underneath the sheets is a Team USA jersey. And my husband's across the room just giggling his head off because he just thinks he's so clever and it's the funniest thing ever. And I'm just like in complete shock as I'm looking at this. And I said, oh, so you want a divorce now? Like, these are divorce papers. That's how I interpret this. So no, we're competitive.
Yeah, no, it's a great story. Like, you guys knew each other, but hadn't really connected. You do tell the story, and this is the difference between handsome John Conway and Gavin Spittle. If I was banging the glass while you were doing TV, and people turned around and they see John Conway, it's like, oh, okay. But if it was me, security would come get me. So he actually this is the story, correct? Like, he would fake that he was going for groceries just to pass and bang on the window of the arena to get your attention.
Yep. If anyone has seen a game at Scotiabank Arena, so I used to, when I worked for Leafs TV, we would do our shows live in the arena, and we would do it by gate one, and it's all glass, right? And it looks into Maple Leaf Square. So whenever you see those images of when the Leafs and the Raptors have been in the playoffs and everyone's like watching outside, that set overlooked that. So there's a huge window, and there's a grocery store around the corner. So yeah, he would always have a grocery bag in hand. Of course, it was always empty because he didn't want to look completely stalkerish. He's like, no, I'm going grocery shopping. Meanwhile, he wanted to come by because he knew I was working, and he would knock on the window just to say hello. But he did freak out my floor director once because, I mean, John is 6'5".
Yeah,
and big he's boy, not yeah. like a, yeah, he's not a 6'5 beanpole. He's like 6'5, 240. He's got a presence, and he would be outside, and he would like oftentimes put a hoodie on because, you know, it's middle of winter. And so when he banged on the door, my floor director one time was, she's like, there is a very large, strange man banging on the door for like your attention. I said, oh, that's just John Conway. Don't worry. I'm like, he's harmless. So, but yeah, that's what he used to do.
That's great. Okay. So watching the game the other day with a buddy of mine from Montreal, and he told me, but from the Montreal perspective, he said, because I was asking him, when the Toronto Blue Jays are in the World Series, all of Canada was rooting for the Blue Jays.
Yes.
So I ask you, with the Montreal Canadiens, and they were the last team to win the Stanley Cup, and it's been so long since a team from Canada has taken the cup, does Canada rally around the team left, which is Montreal?
Oh, I'm going to say, I mean, this is a yes and no answer. Okay. Yes, because to your point, I think, you know, the nation always does have a little like an interest when it's like, ooh, okay, wait a second. A Canadian team can get the cup here, like, or at least on their way. I mean, they're not in the cup final. We know this, but there's always an interest there from a national perspective, without doubt. But this isn't the national team. This is still pro sports. So do you think a Toronto Maple Leafs fan is going to cheer for the Habs? Absolutely not. Because right. Even if there's a little part of them that's like, oh, it'd be cool just to like say a Canadian team won the cup, they also know they're never going to hear the end of it from Habs fans. And it's the same with any other team. Like, I'm sure with the Oilers in the Stanley Cup final the last 2 years, do you think Calgary Flames fans were cheering? Absolutely not, right? Like, so I think we have a lot of casual fans that for sure are going for the Canadian side of it. But if you're a diehard hockey fan, nope, absolutely not.
You talk about so many players in the books and the stories. It's great. Has there been a player or celeb, like maybe walking onto the Hockey Night in Canada set, has there been someone where the heart was beating a little bit fast, but you had to act cool?
Oh, I think it would have to be Marty Brodeur. When we had him one time, he was near the end of his career. And I'm pretty sure he was still with the Devils, or maybe he was with the Blues at this time. I can't remember. But like, they weren't in the playoffs, so he came on Hockey Night in Canada. As you see, they still do that, right? If a player's team is not in the playoffs anymore, they still get a current player, bring him on board. And I just loved it because I always say that I'm the unofficial president of the non-existent, you know, goalie hugger group. So I love goalies. I've always loved goalies. I have my favorite over here, yeah. Felix Potvin behind me. So there was just that element of like, oh my goodness, this is Marty Brodeur. This is Stanley Cup champion Marty Brodeur. This is one of the best goalies in the league, Marty Brodeur. And he showed up and was so down to earth and so funny that, you know, we hit it off right away and he was great. But yeah, I totally played it cool. But that had to probably be the one where I'm like, are you kidding me? Marty Brodeur is going to come and do like, I don't know, I think he did like 3 or 4 games with us. I was like, that is absolutely insane. But it was so much fun. He ended up just being really awesome to work with.
Well, getting back to Sundin, you mentioned that you'd be outside the locker room waiting, and you a lot of times you would hear his speech to the team. Mm-hmm. So we talked down here in Dallas about Jamie Benn, whether he's going to retire or not. And, you know, we talk about who's going to be the next captain. I guess from your years of covering hockey and sports in general, the captaincy, is it as important as it once was?
I think it's evolved. I wouldn't say so much as taken on a different meaning, but I do believe that now it's, and I mean, I guess you could argue it's always been like, it's your best player. It's the face of the team. But I think a lot of what is expected too of a captain now is, you know, they become the face in that they represent the team at everything, whether it's charity events or they get to do the commercials or they're on the billboards. Like, there's more of that PR element. And I think sometimes that doesn't necessarily mean they're always the best in the room, right? Like, I think this is a really interesting conversation because some people will also argue that if you're going to be the captain, and I do agree with this to an extent, if you're going to be the captain, you also have to have meaning on the ice. Because can you imagine if you're a guy, you could be a great leader, but if you're playing like 8 minutes a night, right? Or maybe even sometimes you're a healthy scratch, how can you say to the guys, dig deep or do this or do that when you yourself can't do that? So I can understand a little bit of do as I do, because yeah, you need to be a leader by example. I do understand that 100%. But, you know, you look at some guys like even, you know, Lowry with the Winnipeg Jets. This is a guy who goes, you know, between third and fourth line. You have a lot of these veterans who are not necessarily part of your top six, yet they are so brilliant in the room. And I think everything to me is just based on context, like whatever works for your team. If the best player, you know, who's on your top line is what works for your team to be the captain, great. If the third or fourth line guy on your team works to be the captain, then great. So that's where I just think, like, it just depends on each team because you can make an argument for both.
You mentioned one of my favorites in the book, From Hockey Night in Canada. And I was at a Dallas Stars game. I'm sitting in the stand and they were playing Montreal. So it was a Hockey Night in Canada game. And with my seats, the director or cameraman was right next to me. And there pops up Cassie Campbell. And you want to talk about my heartbeat? And I normally, like, here's my rule, like, around this radio station. When we have athletes come, I feel, and I don't know if you feel this way, I feel as though if you ask for a picture, it changes the relationship sometimes. So what I try to do is just act normal, treat them normal. Thanks for coming in. That day I needed a picture. I was a fan, like, for what she has done for the game. And then as a broadcaster, what she has done for hockey.
She is a salt of the earth human being. I'll let you in on a veteran move. Cause till this day, I still meet people who I'm like, I need a photo. What you do is before, cause you know, you're going to meet them or they're going to come up. You always have to have that coworker or that friend where you're like, listen, I need you to say, hey, do you mind if I get a photo of the two of you together? This is great.
Ooh,
so you haven't technically asked for it, but if you're standing there talking to the person, right? Like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden a friend goes, hey, Andy, can I just get you and Cassie to like pose for, oh, okay, sure. But you totally set it up. Cassie doesn't need to know that, right? So that's the bit of a veteran move. Get somebody else to walk up and say, hey, the two of you, do you mind posing for a photo? Meanwhile, it's your phone they're holding. So then you get that photo and it doesn't seem weird. But Cassie is extraordinary. Yeah, she was the first to send me an email when I officially was hired by Hockey Night in Canada, welcoming me to this elite group of women, just becoming the fifth to join Hockey Night in Canada. I didn't see much of her while I was there because she was not in studio yet as much and she was doing all the Calgary games. But then over the years, we really got to cross paths, just recently working with her as well during the Milano Cortina Olympics and covering both the men and women's hockey tournaments. And she is just so phenomenal, the way she sees the game. Like, even because, you know, as a host and analyst, you're always in contact, whether you're sitting side by side watching the game, or in this case, she was in Italy and I was in Canada, but we would always stay in communication because I'm like, what are you seeing? And what do you need me to set you up for in the first intermission, second intermission? And some of the things, and she's like, well, I'm seeing this type of play and this happened in the corner. And then I saw this person, they already created turnovers off of like six, you know, stick checks or whatever. I'm like, how did you see that? Like, we're watching the same game. But she sees it quickly and she alerts, you know, the person who's working in the tape deck to put these highlights together. And she just sees all these little things. And she truly is also a captain. She'll protect you fiercely if you're part of her, you know, team. And I put that in quotes because obviously we're not on the ice together, but off the ice, like, we are teammates. And she is, she goes into mama bear mode a lot, but she's, you know, she's just so wonderful that way.
Well, I never want Ron McLean to retire, but if he does, ..
Oh, geez.
I'll write an email. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You need to be the leader.
I love Ron. Yes, you're right. I mean, I love Ron, and he too has been a great mentor of mine. In fact, we crossed paths during Milano Cortina because he did the morning show and I was doing the afternoon show. And during rehearsals, we ran in, we were catching up, but the first words out of his mouth, because I hadn't seen him in a while, my book launched in October, and here we were, it was like end of January, early February, and the first words out of his mouth were, "Sorry I didn't give you better advice heading into the Sochi Olympics." I said, "What are you talking about?" Because I share in the book that I wanted him to be more descriptive and like literally give me a formula about how to be a great Olympic host. Is, 2014 Sochi was the first time I hosted. And he gave me this whole, like, you got to find your own energy, find your own way, find your own style. And at the time I was so disappointed because I'm like, come on, man. But it was only afterwards that I was able to truly appreciate him saying, find your voice. So anyways, he came up to me just jokingly saying, yeah, sorry, I couldn't have given you better advice. I said, Ron, you gave me the best advice. It was so good. But yeah, he's pretty awesome. And in fact, I take a lot from him. He loves doing historical context and also bringing the past and comparing it to something happening present. I do that, and I got that from him. And I'm not embarrassed to say that, right? Because he's a mentor of mine. He's somebody I admired. So you always try to take bits and pieces from people that you really grew up loving. And so he's definitely one of them.
That's great. We have two women that do an amazing job covering the stars. Taylor Baird is... stopped writing after so many years. She was one of the first. And Leah Simakopoulos with the Dallas Morning News does such a great job in the locker room. I've asked Leah about comfort level and she says, oh no, the guys treat me amazing. So hopefully it's changing for the better. And I think a compliment to you, Andy, on the book is the way that you weave those topics in within the fabric of your life, the great hockey stories. You made me think, you made me laugh. And to me, that's the sign of a great book. So congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you. That makes my parents proud because I put my English major to use. So
there you go, mom and dad, right? You're good to go now.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it. The book is called Just Call Me Andy, Sports Stories from a Trailblazer. Like I said, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever your books are found, Apple Books, just to name a few. All right, enough of pumping the tires. Thank you so much for joining us today. I will try my best to continue watching Canadian television, but darn it, get back in America soon.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try. I appreciate this. This was wonderful. And if we want to do a weekly thing of you pumping my tires, I will not object.
Oh, don't hold me to. Oh my God. Oh my God. That'd be amazing. You're the best, Andy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for another edition of Spits and Suds. Thank you guys so much for listening. Until our next episode, have a great day, everyone.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.